Today on Real Radio.
You might meet someone who say, well, Pastor Jack, I hope for a healthy life, a great career, and a fulfilling, meaningful existence. That's great. That's excellent. So do I. Wonderful. But what after that? What? What after? Oh, well. And people say the most risky things. I don't know if anybody could know anything about what's after. Why don't you read the book about the guy who knows all about the after?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse through the New Testament narrative written by Luke and is examining the latter half of chapter 19. As well, we'll be looking at numerous other passages that support the principle of the Messiah being divine and therefore having divine authority. Let's get underway as Pastor Jack expounds on this in a mini-series called The Ever-Present Argument of God.
No one's going to escape from this life unscathed. You're fooling yourself. And by the way, it's that innocent and uninformed believer who statistically falls away from Christ when the difficult times come. Oh no, give me a believer. I want to hang out with a believer who's gone through a lot of stuff. Right now, Megan is fighting for her life going through this. And by the way, the baby was delivered healthy and fine and beautiful. But Megan's fighting for her life. She's fighting for her life. And Mitch texted me when I was away and he said, you know what? She's got amazing peace. My daughter has tremendous confidence in Christ. Listen, when a hardship comes into your life, you'll either get closer to God or you'll run away from him. You'll cover yourself either in leaves or you'll fall on the rock and be broken. And that's a good thing, to be broken. Isaiah 53:3 says, he, Jesus, was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Is that the Jesus you know? It better be the Jesus you know. Isaiah 53:3, he was acquainted with grief, and he was a man of sorrows, Jesus was. Romans 8:26 and verse 34. This is awesome. Romans 8:26 and Romans 8:34. And the Holy Spirit himself helps in our distresses. You ever felt like that? For we don't even know what we should pray for, nor how we ought to pray. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in human words. Verse 34. Who is he who condemns us? It is Christ who died, and furthermore also is risen from the dead, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Did you know that? The Bible says that Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit speak to the Father on your behalf. Why should you become a Christian today? Because don't you think it'd be good for your life if the Holy Spirit and Jesus was talking to the Father about what's good for your life? Man, I think we ought to just form a line and sign up for Jesus right now, don't you think? I talked to a pastor this week who was in Oakland, California, just down the street from his church. Spoke to him face to face. And there was a woman going into an abortion clinic. And he said, excuse me, we want to help you. You don't have to do that. We want to help you. And the city of Oakland has some 8-foot rule. There's an 8-foot rule, and somebody was watching, and he violated the 8-foot rule. He was arrested. He was put in jail with a 30-day sentence. I'm telling you straight from his mouth, God's my witness. Lisa and I spoke with him and his wife on Thursday evening. I said, yeah, but the news said you only served 20 days in jail. He said, that's right. He didn't say that's right. He said, that's right. And I said, so what's the deal? He said, by the grace of God, I led 8 inmates to Christ. 8 guys got saved in 20 days. He said, the next thing I knew, they said, get out of here. He was arrested for trying to defend the unborn and help an innocent young girl who was scared and didn't know what to do. Wow. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:21, "For to this you were called." Listen, this is not a verse you memorize on your car. This is not one you like, "I want to memorize that verse." 1 Peter 2:21, "For to this you were called." Yes. "Because Christ also suffered for us." Right on. "Leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps." What? That's what the Bible says. Point number three, why do you and I need to fall upon this rock and be broken, the stone? Number three, because Jesus Christ is the only one who can make sense of the injustice of this world. You guys, it's crazy. The injustice on all kinds of fronts. We could be here all day talking about injustices, could we not? In John 15:17, Jesus says, "These things I command you." Listen, that you love one another. Next verse says, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world, then the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, because I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." Are you hated in this world? Again, speaking to a pastor, he came up to me in Washington and he said, "Listen, I need to ask you about something. I'm scared. I'm taking a stand." And he said, "You know, I want to talk to you about it because your church has really got me all excited. And we're very connected on the internet with your church." And he said, "Whatever you guys do, we do." I think he's in New Mexico, maybe. I think it was. I'm not sure. Doesn't matter. And he said, "You know, you guys would do something. You'd have voter registration, or you would stand up for the poor, or you would do this for that." I started getting attacked, and people started targeting me, and people started throwing eggs in my car. He said, "I'm scared." And that verse got into our notes this morning because that's the verse I pulled out. And I said, "Listen, they hated Jesus before they ever hated you. This is what we signed up for." Listen, if the world hates you and I, Jesus said, "Cheer up. They hated me first." See, you and I have this thing about, because we haven't fallen on the rock and been broken, there's still too much of us alive, that we really, 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 really care about what everybody thinks about us. Do you know how silly that is? See, when we're broken, we don't care what people think about us. Because let's be honest. Let's just be brutally honest. Look, I'll just take, like, there's maybe 7 people sitting right here, maybe 8 in this front section, just right there. Their opinions will change of me and of one another as they get to know one another and get to know me and I get to know them. How often will the opinions change of one another and what we think about them? Is it not fluid? Is it not constant? What do you think? I don't know what I think. Well, I used to like them. Now I don't like them. I used to not like them, but now I like them. Constantly changing. The world will never, never, even in the house of God, it's constantly changing. But he never changes. He's always the same. And here's what's cool. Tie your existence to him. Throw your rope around his buoy, his anchor, and be steadfast unto him. Why? His opinion of you will never change. You know exactly what he thinks about you in this book. It's amazing. He says, by the way, "My thoughts toward you, they're more than the sands of the sea. And they're beautiful. They're wonderful. You cannot count them, Jack," he says in the Psalms. That's great. When you fall on the rock and you're broken, you can't care. You won't care what other people think about you. In fact, Jesus says, when all men, listen, ladies, this is really tough among ladies. More ladies fall victim to this one than anybody. Jesus said, "Beware when all men, all people speak well of you. Beware." You know why that's a dangerous thing? Because you're trying to go around and please everyone. Speak well of me. Speak well of me. Now, I'm not talking about going around being a really goofball, obnoxious nut. But I will say that if I mention the name Jesus on Tuesday at Fox, it's going to cause a riot. So pray that I mention the name of Jesus. That's key. Point number four. in the centrality argument that God presents before all of us and all mankind, why do you and I need to fall on Jesus, this rock, this stone? Because Jesus Christ is the only one who can make sense of who I am, of who you are. In Matthew 9:35, the Bible says, then Jesus, Matthew 9:35, Jesus went about all, listen to this. For those of you who don't know Christ personally, will you listen to this? This ought to change your life. Then Jesus went all about the cities and villages, I love it, metropolitans and little huts, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the kingdom of God and healing every sickness and every disease that was among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them. You guys, the word moved with compassion, the word moved, literally, I have to tell you what it means. The Greek meaning of the word means that his bowels were irritated or agitated. Not his stomach, not his head, not his heart. What he saw with his eyes hit his heart. When it hit his heart, it so affected his bowels, his guts, moved with compassion that he's feeling, Jesus is feeling sick in his stomach because people were, what? They were like sheep having no shepherd. Do you think that? Do I think that when I see a crowd of people? What are all those people doing in front of me? When you see a crowd of people, how do you look at that? Look at the crowd! Jesus looks at a crowd and says, oh my gosh. They're lost in this world. They're wandering around. They have no direction. They have no purpose. They don't even know who they are without a shepherd. Did he not say, I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for my sheep? You say, well, I want to be one of his little lambs. I know you do. He said, whosoever. That's lamb talk. Whosoever. It's only Jesus Christ, my friend, when you make him the Lord and Savior of your life that you find out who you really are. Are you like a sheep today with no shepherd in your life? You know it. If you don't have him, you know it. Because let's be honest, I remember 33 years ago, 19 years of age, what it was like to be a person living in this world, and I was the boss, I was the leader, I was the shepherd, I was the ship captain, I was the authority. And if you're sitting here and say, man, well, you're a weirdo, without Jesus, that's who you are too. You're the authority in your life, aren't you? You call the shots. You're the one that says, I'm not going to listen to that Bible stuff. You make the call. You're the guy. Just know this. You have a soul. You have a spirit that will live forever. You better be making the right decisions, or else you're making the wrong ones. Well, I want to encourage you to look at Jesus and the centrality of who Christ is, because the truth is, my friend, living this life right now, it's as though we're living in a body, but without Christ being the head, we're headless without him. And that's a weird thing. You say, why should I make him the Lord of my life? I'm going to give you a couple of verses. Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. I'll give you just one beautiful thing regarding his amazing desire to give your life purpose and meaning. I want to preface this verse. Don't raise your hand, but do you know anyone who is very prone to worry, stress, anxiety? If you know someone like that, listen to what Jesus says. You say, well, why do you bring that up? Because part of being broken is coming to that place of saying, I can't do this. There's guys that the projection of their confidence is extremely important to them. Did you hear how I put that? It's extremely important to them. I'll take care of it. I'll do it. Let me see. It's And it sounds noble. It even looks noble. But many times in that kind of a setting is a person who's hurting, a person who's fearful, because they can't relinquish control to God in their work environment or in their marriage or with their kids. They have got to have their finger on everything rather than let God steer and use and direct that person. When you see someone who's very, very, very controlling over a situation, you've just met someone who's very insecure and fearful. They may look spectacular at the helm, but inside their heart, they're laden and burdened with terror. And that's why when they do fail, and God will see to it in his loving mercy that they fail with hopes. Are you with me? All two of you over there are with me. With hopes of bringing them to that place of brokenness. Jesus says, Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What a God. Fifth and final point, we end here. Why do you need to fall on your knees before the stone? Come to him, because Jesus Christ is the only one who can make sense of what you hope for, of what you want. Remember, he said, if you fall upon this stone, you'll be broken, but whoever falls, or whoever has it fall upon him, will be ground to powder. Check this out, and we'll come screaming across the finish line right here. He's the only one that can really make sense and give me the understanding of what I'm hoping for, and it's this. Every one of us, you have thoughts of eternity. You have thoughts of forever. You think about them for yourself. You think about them for those you love. You think about them for your children. Our polished culture, we hide those deep thoughts, but they're ever present. They're always there. And you wonder about eternity. What are the things that you hope for? You might meet someone who say, well, Pastor Jack, I hope for a healthy life, a great career, and a fulfilling, meaningful existence. That's great. That's excellent. So do I. Wonderful. But what after that? What? What after? Oh, well. And people say the most risky things. I don't know if anybody could know anything about what's after. Why don't you read the book about the guy who knows all about the after? Jesus, why don't you read the book? So, what do we do? As I said in the opening, we end with this. This verse right here has these two lines in it that separate heaven and hell from life and from death. To be broken or to be crushed. It's your choice today. It's my choice today. And I wrote a few things down. To be broken is to see your great need for God in your life. I'm talking about me. To be broken is for me to see the great need for God in my life. Number two, to be broken for me is to see myself for what I really am. Not what you think I am, not what my wife thinks I am, but to be broken is for me to be and to know who I really am. Third, to be broken is to see myself, ourselves, unable to revive ourselves. The Bible says that we're dead in our sins, we're dead. And we need reviving. I can't revive myself. A dead man, you don't put a defibrillator on a dead man. You know those things where the guy goes, clear? You only do that to living people or people who are kind of dead. You don't drag some guy out of the box and say, clear? And nothing there. And if you don't have Jesus, the Bible says you're dead to God. You have no concept. You're sitting here today going, when are you going to shut up? I want to get out of here. I understand that. Just know this. I'll be the first to offend you. You're dead. You're spiritually dead. We all know what it's like. Until the Holy Spirit comes along and goes, clear! And then beep, beep. It's called being born again. Boop, boop, boop. Wow. Your eyes work different. Don't your eyes work different? You see things, you understand things different. And also this, to be broken is to see him in all of his glory. In Isaiah 61, in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne. By the way, Isaiah couldn't see the Lord sitting on the throne before until Uzziah died, his friend. His friend was too big in his life. He's a good guy too, but God took Uzziah to heaven so Isaiah could see the Lord. He was high and lifted up, and his glory of his robe filled the temple. And above the temple stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. That'll freak you out. And with two, he covered his face, and with two other wings, he covered himself, his feet, and his body, and with the two remaining wings, he flew. And one cried to the other, and they said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the doors were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, Woe is me, for I'm undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. That's God. Then one of the seraphim flew to me. Can you imagine this thing flying to you with six wings? Having in his hand a live coal burning, taken off the altar with tongs. And he came and he touched my mouth with it. And he said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sins have been purged from you. And Isaiah's life changed in that minute, forever. Because his sin had been taken away. In a second. And Colossians 2:13 says exactly that. For you and I who were once dead because of our sins and because of our sinful nature, which has not yet been cut away, God made you and I alive together with Christ. He forgave us of all of our sins. He canceled the record that was contained against us, the charges and how we had broken the law. And he took it away and destroyed it by nailing it to his cross. Isn't that awesome news? Fall upon the rock. Have you ever done that? Have you ever fallen upon the rock and were broken? God, I'm sorry. Or are you going to hold out and die and that rock falls on you and grinds you to powder? Don't be silly. And this is the warning Jesus gives his audience 2,000 years ago. It's the warning the Spirit gives to us today.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called The Ever-Present Argument of God. It's actually a series within our overall exploration of Luke's New Testament account and taken from the latter portion of chapter 19. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. In the meantime, a reminder of our special offer, Pastor Jack's DVD series called Saints, Sex, and Sinners. An examination of Paul's dealings with the Corinthian believers and the issues which the series title clearly describes. And quite honestly, doesn't that sound like something that must be addressed today? Well, Pastor Jack does deal with it today, and it's available on DVD. To obtain Pastor Jack's series Saints, Sex, and Sinners, just ask for it by name when you get in touch. All we request is a gift of any amount to the ongoing outreach of Real Radio. We'll be glad to send you the DVD series, Saints, Sex, and Sinners. Call, click, or write if you prefer. Pay us a visit at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and you'll know just what to do. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.